2.3. Is it true?
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go on a Friday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We pray that you are having a great and glorious day, and that Jesus is thriving in your life and that you are thriving in Christ. And so my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. Merritt Assembly of God is one of the best kept secrets in all of Brevard County. It is a congregation of people who love God, love one another, and are always looking to expand the number of people that they are aware of that are serving Jesus here in Brevard County. And so it's my privilege to pastor this great church. Been doing that for over 30 years. And God just continues to demonstrate his faithfulness in a super abundance of ways. And so if you do not have a church home, maybe you are like a number of people that I know, you've been burned in churches in the past. I want to encourage you, don't give up on the body of Christ just because you had a bad experience with an individual. I have had bad experiences, and there would be people that would point to me and say that they had bad experiences with me, but I am so thankful for the body of Christ. When we first came to Brevard County 33 years ago, it was about this time of year that we went to church and somebody broke into our vehicle while we were in church. And we had locked it up and all of that, and they broke into our vehicle and filled it up with all sorts of blessings. And I was like, wow, we're just completely taken back by that. That was something we really weren't expecting. So the next week we went to church and locked it up again, and they broke into it again and filled it up with the largest container of laundry detergent and an ironing board. I had, and to this day that still remains a memory, a blessing in my life that I am continually inspired and in awe of. But I don't encourage people to break into their cars. They have alarm systems now and things like that. But, we are meant to be a blessing. In the same hand, there's been a lot of, trauma that has been done. But I'm not soured on the body of Christ because of one bad experience. And so if you have had a bad experience, we would be honored to help you through the healing of that process. And believe me, I know that sometimes that process can take a while. We sat on the shelf for almost 2 years. But when you look back in the rearview mirror, you see how God was guiding you even during that healing from the trauma. For us, it was being told that we were worthless and wouldn't amount to anything in the ministry. Those were the exact words. And the trauma of that, but we found God faithful even during seasons of trauma. If you are not actively in a church right now, but you're close to Merritt Island, we would be so honored if you would give us the opportunity to be a blessing in your life. We are blessed to be a blessing to God, to our family, to our church, and to our community, and we would love to enter that lifestyle of blessing with you. Today we are going to, I'm just going to read a brief portion, get my mouth to work right here, of Matthew chapter 7, verse number 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We don't want you to hear those words as a declaration from the mouth of Jesus. So we are going through the scriptures to look at what a lifestyle of lawlessness looks like. And so today we're going to be in Romans chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse number 15. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." So there are some that were arguing in the days of Paul that, well, if sin had led where sin abounds, grace did much more abound, then they said, well, we should continue sinning then so that we will experience more grace. That was a misunderstanding of the truth that Paul was communicating. And so he says, in answer to the question, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? His answer was certainly not. Jesus did not come to lower the standard. He came to raise the standard, fulfill the standard, and empower us by living in us to be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. Jesus, or Paul writes here, that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are slaves to the one that you do obey. The world's philosophy of embracing sin doesn't come along with the realization that many times those sins that they commit have addictive properties. And pretty soon you are there to the point that you are no longer the one in control. There are people throughout history who have operated as allies with other human beings until they had gained such a stronghold, such an influence, that they no longer needed the ally, and then they dominated their previous allies and overpowered them and said, look, now you're going to do exactly what we tell you to do. Never play games with people who are in actuality looking for dominion over you. They're not looking to help you. I could tell you that from an economic standpoint, that we play dangerous financial games around the world with people who really don't want to be our ally. They want dominion over us. That is also something that takes place spiritually. It is also something that takes place politically. It is things that take place with substances. And it wants you to yield control. It wants you, the devil wants you in bondage. It, to him, it doesn't matter if you're in bondage financially, because he can control that and cause spiritual damage to your life. It doesn't matter to him if you are in bondage relationally. He he can use that and do spiritual damage to your life. It doesn't matter about substance. You know, I've had relatives whose lives were ruined because of substance abuse. All of those things, you know, and I'll tell you, substance could be, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, and there's a wide array of those. But it could also be food. It could also be exercise. It could be a hobby that you have. Never allow the devil to have any area of dominion over your life, because the point of this passage in Romans chapter 6 is that lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. That's really what we're going to see. And it's all about bondage. It's about who's in control. If you ever think that you're in control, you know, this is the dangerous mindset that alcoholics and drug addicts have come to realize, that they can say, oh, well, I can control it, I can quit at any time, until they realize that they are no longer the one in control and they cannot quit at any given point in time. We needed a deliverer from the bondage of sin, and thank God we had one. We have one in Jesus. So if you obey sin, you will see that the goal of that sin is to lead you to death. But if you obey the word of God, that's going to lead to a manifestation of righteousness in your life and my life. All of that is found in verse number 16. Verse 17 says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You see, it is not just an act of obedience. It is a heart of obedience. What is going on inside your heart? You can actually fulfill the exterior acts of doing what is right, but your heart not be in it at all. And so this is something that we realize that what takes place in our heart impacts what goes on the outside, not the opposite way around. Verse number 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So there was a point in time when Bob Dylan was writing songs for the Christian community, and he had a song. It's really the only song of Bob Dylan that I know. And he said, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody, and he's since abandoned to the best of my recollection, he's abandoned any form of Christianity whatsoever. You got to serve somebody, and so some people serve money, some people serve power, some people serve their addictions, some people have all sorts of different services, but the body of Christ is that we are under the jurisdiction, the ownership, if you will, because Jesus paid the price for us. He bought us off the auction block of sin, and he did that with his own blood. And so the Bible says, you are not your own as a believer. You were bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we have been liberated from the bondage, the have-to of sin, and now we live with the privilege of serving in righteousness. He said, I speak in human terms, this is verse 19, because of the weakness of your flesh. So Paul would write things to people, and he would put these theological truths in a simple to understand phraseology so that they would realize the truth that he was trying to communicate. He says, you used to present your members as slaves of uncleanness. To a degree, the world in its bondage to sin cannot help itself. I tell the church, don't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. That's why you see some politicians who have no problem with hypocrisy in their life, because they make no bones about it. They are slaves to the agenda that they have aligned themselves. They can't help themselves. But they are also very quick to point out, and it is a double standard, it is an unjust standard, an unrighteous standard, they point out when other people have hypocrisy because they have said, you know what, you have just fallen short of the standard of righteousness. There's an area of uncleanness in your life, and we're going to point out that hypocrisy. It's not a problem when there's hypocrisy in our life, but we want to point out, accentuate, and magnify any hypocrisy in your life, because that's going to make us feel better about our life. Now, here's the thing about the body of Christ. We are not supposed to pretend that uncleanness does not exist. We speak the truth in love, not because we hate the person, but because we love the person. So we had an evangelist that was with us back in October of 2022. So it was last October. And we were at a restaurant. We were discussing the church and ministry and things like that. And I really do try and eat healthy. He's healthier eating than I am. But this particular night, it wasn't a fancy restaurant. If you want to know where it was a Chick-fil-A. And I had ordered a chicken salad that they had on the menu. And we're sitting there, we're talking, and he stops our conversation, and he says, he either said, you have lettuce on your face, or you have salad dressing on your face. I don't remember which one it was. It's irrelevant. But what he did say was, you've got something on you that is going to cause people to look at you kind of funny. And because I care about you and want you to be able to have, you know, unhindered communication with people, I want you to know you've got something on your face that needs to be cleaned off. And, you know, some people could, if you try and do that in a spiritual sense, people will say, well, I'm offended by that. How could you point out the flaw? That person wasn't pointing out the food on my face to embarrass me. He was pointing out the food on my face to keep me from being embarrassed. And so he said, when you were slaves of sin, you were slaves of uncleanness. And along with that uncleanness, there was a lawlessness. There was a living outside of the bonds of the law of love that God had blessed us with. And it said, as a result of that being a slaves of lawlessness, it was leading to more lawlessness. The lust of the flesh lead to greater lust of the flesh. And here's what they have found. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about sociological specialists. And that is this. They have found that people who are operating in an immoral lifestyle, that immorality leads to greater immorality, which leads to more dysfunction. In other words, what they thought was going to enhance their sexual depravity actually created dysfunction in their life. Now, would you like for me to share with you a positive thing? They have found that the very thing that the world thinks it's chasing in sexual depravity is actually found in the life of believers through sexual purity. When lawlessness is enabled to function in your life, it is never going to be satisfied. It is going to cause you to operate with greater and greater frequency and greater seriousness and levels of sin. Lawlessness leads to additional lawlessness, a greater amount or a greater degree of lawlessness. And so Paul, in his mercy and grace and in the leading of the Holy Spirit, says there is a solution to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, and that is this: present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Okay? So, this is something that God wants, but we have to choose. In 2023, who is going to have jurisdiction in your life? The one who loved you enough to give you eternal truth in the Word of God, or the one who wants you to operate outside of the guardrails of God's Word? Who are you going to listen to? The one who gave you his word to protect you, or the one who wants you operating beyond those boundaries to do you harm? I know people that, and I know them very well, that their decision-making process is not the law of the Word of God, it's the law of the moment. What seems like it is going to be the most gratifying and the most liberating at the moment, what's going to make me feel the best at this moment. And so they are slaves to the moment. Paul says, present yourselves as slaves of righteousness, the right standing before God. Okay? So, my wife and I have been married for many decades. We were married before we came to Brevard County, and we've been in Brevard County for over 33 years. So that gives you some understanding of, you know, where we are in our stage of life. And we entered into a covenant relationship that we were going to be committed to one another, faithful to one another, and serve God alongside one another. And so we're in that type of relationship. The world would think that, you know, I've actually heard of celebrities and people who are famous that said, it is unrealistic to expect people to live in a monogamous relationship, and then they are shocked when they find out that, you know, that their partner's been unfaithful to them. We don't look at it as bondage. We look at it as blessing. And so I don't want you to look at this verse as being a slave of righteousness as a hopeless situation, but as actually a blessing from God, because being a bondservant of righteousness, it enables us to not experience lawlessness that leads to more lawlessness. It is, as a slave of righteousness, the result is that we get to experience holiness. We get to experience holiness. And you know what holiness doesn't come with? Holiness doesn't come with regret. Holiness doesn't come with guilt. I will say that holiness is not, you know, like it used to be, 50 or 60 years ago, about the length of your hair and the length of your collars, and, you know, whether your hair was touching your ear, or, you know, whether you wore white socks or blue socks, holiness is not about all of those legalistic standards. The Bible describes holiness as a blessing. It says, without holiness, no man will see God. And so I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that God has liberated us, or given us the option of being liberated from lawlessness that leads to greater depths of depravity and more lawlessness, more rebellion against God. He says, if you will ask Jesus into your heart, Jesus will come and break the chains of lawlessness in your life so that you can live a life of jubilant obedience to God and experience the purity and the blessing and the joy and the peace that comes from knowing God. I made this statement a long time ago, and I believe that some of the most miserable people on the planet are people who have broken the law. Maybe they killed somebody, maybe they committed a robbery decades ago, and they haven't been caught yet. And the reason that I say that is because every day they've got to look over their shoulder wondering, is today the day that my past is going to catch up to me and I'm going to have to pay the price for that? Some of the greatest joy-filled people on the planet are the people that said, you know what, I'm so thankful Jesus is empowering me to live a life that I don't have to regret. That's what I want for us. God bless you. We'll see you right here on Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
My spirit is long, my heart is weak. I need you, Jesus, your presence I seek. Oh Lord, more of you. This one thing I'm asking, this treasure I seek, that I may behold you and worship at your feet. Oh.